Well, we're so excited that you're here with us this morning. Is this just not exciting? Whose is it their first time here out on this property? Raise your hand. So where it's at is we don't really know. Okay, so we're
in the vicinity.
We're in the vicinity. So it's 4.5 acres, and I think we said it was like 600 feet of
sidewalk.
Of sidewalk, and then
maybe 600 feet back. So we think like the volunteer drive is going to be like the parking lot entrance right here is what we think it's going to be. So that little where it juts out right there, like that would go into the parking lot.
Pretty exciting, huh? Can you see it now? Yeah. Well, we gather today because we know God is taking us into the future, but we want to take a second to remember our story so far because we never want to forget our roots and we never want to forget what God has done. So this church started with 5 core families that moved out from Sacramento, California, specifically because God put this zip code on their heart to start a church. So if you're part of that, those core families, would you just stand up or raise your hand if you're seated or there you go. Praise the Lord. So that started back in 2015, the beginning of 2015. And then when we moved in, you know, we said we want to get to know our community. We don't want to just set up a church and hope that people will come. That's not the way that we think that church should be done, right? We think we need to know our neighbors and have a relationship. And so I'll never forget that first week I was here. I unpacked my house in a tizzy and I invited some moms over. I just put on the Facebook group, you know, if you're a mom and you want to come hang out. And we had 2 mom groups, 1 in the morning and 1 at night. And between them, we had 30 moms show up. So if you were one of those moms, will you raise your hand? If that's how you met us, see Nicole, Ashley, awesome. I know Mary's not here. We met Mary there as well. And so, and then we had what we called family dinners. Whoever came to our family dinners? We had to do that again, right? That was like so fun. And it was just Sunday night potluck. Just come hang out. And the purpose of this was just to get to know each other, just to get to know our neighbors and just build relationships, right, and friendships. And then from there.
Yeah, well from those people that came to those mom groups and those family dinners, we formed our launch team. And so that became 25 people. And all we asked of them that they agree and support the vision of Village Church. Some of those people weren't even saved yet, which is crazy, I know. But they became saved over time. And those a lot of those people are part of our core team now, part of our leadership. And so it's been incredible just to see that journey of how we came here, we met people organically, and those are the people that helped start this church at the beginning. God brought us those relationships, and there's many of those people are still with us. Some of them moved away and everything, but if you were part of that original launch team, would you raise your hand?
Woo, woo, woo.
Yeah.
Very cool. And then it was so neat. So we had it in mind that we would spend 1 year here in Red Rock before we even thought about a service. But then y'all have so many kids, and so we couldn't fit in a house, right? I remember one time we tried to like meet, and the kids, it was like it was nuts. It was like 30 kids, and so we all left angry. So we said, you know what? We know that God is ready for us to begin starting services, starting a large gathering, and but we didn't have a space to meet in. Okay. And we had been teaching at the school. We, you know, one part of our vision was we just want to partner with the school. So we went in and we were like trying to figure out like, how are we going to ask? Can we rent here? Okay. It's a public school. We don't even know if they're going to let us. And that's the only space in Red Rock, right? Unless you want to meet outside every day, which is nice today, but for the most part, not. So we go in, we meet with the principal, we're sitting down and we're just talking vision with her. What do you want to do in the future? We're talking about after school care programs and just kind of her vision. And then she said, you know what, though, I think should happen first. I think you should put your church in our school. It was if that's not a miracle from God, a public school administrator inviting a church in to say, would you put your church right at the moment we needed it? Such a miracle. And so we started meeting. That's what we did next.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then it takes some finances to start a church, right? And traditionally, church planting, they would say you want like $250,000 to $350,000 saved up before you plant a church, mm-hmm. which is insane. Which is absolutely crazy. And we were like, there's no way that we're ever going to get that, right? And so we said, we don't want to start with a building where we have to buy stuff right away. So God provided, we never even had to ask for money. And God provided us $50,000 to get things started with. And this was from other churches in our denomination, some as far south as Sarita, pitched in like $8,000 to help us get started. That doesn't happen. And I remember when this was happening at the beginning, we had a grant. A person came to us, and they had a grant, and they said, we'll give you $25,000 if you can match it. And we were like, okay, well, I guess we aren't getting $25,000, so see you guys later, you know. How in the world were we supposed to raise that? We never had to ask a soul. And churches around this area raised money for us and handed us money from their congregations to make sure that this church could happen. That is a miracle in and of itself, that other churches would make this happen. And absolutely. So we're here today. We need to say this. We're here today because of so many other churches that made this happen. Their prayer, their financial support. We had, if you guys remember at the beginning, we had Full Throttle, the motorcycle group, come up and pray all through the community. They prayed over the school. They prayed over so many of our homes. And it's because of those churches' support financially and spiritually that this is happening for sure.
Absolutely. Amazing. From there, guys, we have had incredible life change, because that's what it's about, right? It's about people coming to know Jesus. And so over the last 2 years, we've had upwards of 140 salvations, 140 people that have said, that have met Jesus and have entered a relationship with him. Really incredible for a community our size. If you think about it, that's like, what is it, like 3%, 4%-ish, 3% of our community has started a relationship with Jesus, okay? I don't know if that's right. Is that right?
4%.
There we go. Sure. Cody's doing math in his head. 4%. Okay. Awesome. And then I'll just never forget, at our launch, we baptized 14 people the first day we had church. And so that is just in our DNA. God has just moved in an incredible way with salvations and baptisms. And while we want to celebrate that, we don't want to see that slow down, right? Now that we're up and running and it's exciting, we want to see even more exponential growth in that area as
right.
well.
Mm-hmm. And then we decided, you know what, we already have this great relationship with the school. What other areas of influence are in Red Rock? And so we said, you know what, Pulte is a big area of influence in this community. So we decided, let's call a meeting with Pulte and just kind of tell them our vision. We didn't have business cards. We had nothing. We had no idea what we were doing, right? And so we called this meeting. They said, sure, come and talk to us. So we got into this office and we sat down and we started telling them our vision, that we wanted to someday build a community center for this place, because it's so hot outside. People can't have birthday parties anywhere, right? You got to go to the pool and everybody's sunburned and you're dying of heat, right? And so like we were like, we want a community center where people can come and gather. And our vision is not a church first. It's a community center first. That's what we want, right? And so we told them this vision and they said, you know what? Right now in our layout, we don't really have any room for anything like that. But you know what? We'll get back to you and see if there's anything we can do. Then they came back to us and they said, you know what? We decided we'd love to reorganize our entire layout of this community and give you 21 lots that were going to be used for homes that you can purchase at cost for your building. Right, that's a miracle in and of itself, that Pulte would completely redesign their whole layout just so that we could have a space here. Now, eventually, what that means is that this property is going to sit right next to the eventual high school. So that's an amazing place to have a building, to have a community center, right? But here's the other thing. We had to then figure out, they told us it's going to be $210,000. Like, here you go. And that's at cost for them. And we're like, well, great. Again, no idea how that's supposed to happen, right? So we went to our denomination and we told them, hey, this has been offered to us. We don't even know how to raise anything like that. We have no clue of how that could work. And they said, you know what? We believe in your vision. We've never done this for any other church plant, especially anybody as young as you guys are, but we're going to buy that land for you.
Debt free.
We own this land right now, debt free. We didn't have to spend a dime because God moved in incredible ways. And so what we're standing on right now, this dirt, is an absolute miracle in so many different
Absolutely.
Ways.
Absolutely. So amazing. Can we just stop there and just praise the Lord for that? Absolutely. That is just amazing. It's just one area, too, we want to point out is that the way that God has grown our children's ministry. So Village Kids has just blown up. I think we said there's 105, is that right? 103 kids that have come regularly into our ministry. I think there's more than that have probably come through 225 children have come through our ministry in the last 2 years. That's crazy. 225 kids. And so what is so amazing about the way that God has moved in our kids ministry is the people that he's begun to rally. So in churches, I want you to know, in churches, the hardest place to get volunteers is where? The kids ministry, right? People are like, I don't want to miss church. I want, you know, I'm in it for myself. I don't want to help the kids. I don't want to change diapers, you know. But Jessica says this all the time. We have the most generous church community of anyone that we've ever experienced. We have people that, I mean, if someone's sick, there's like five people in line to say, I'll take your place, no problem. And so because of that, God has blessed our church because of your generosity and you're stepping up. And so now we have this thriving, amazing kids ministry. We have a leadership team. We have sub-leadership teams. I mean, God is just moving in the small community in such a powerful way.
Right. And then what's been probably my favorite thing is the spiritual healing that's occurred in so many people's lives here, of you sitting here. People that we've seen Jesus work miracles in your spiritual life, to where addictions have been broken, to where thought processes of lies and stuff have been transformed into truth, and people have been freed from so much junk from their past. And so we've seen incredible, miraculous spiritual healing occur in this church through so many different ministries, from one-on-one meetings to celebrate recovery to so many different things. And so we want to give God a huge round of applause for the healing that has occurred in our people.
And then just recently, we're in this this phase of miraculous physical healing. Okay, and this is something interesting. I have to be honest, I grew up in a pretty traditional church, and so when physical healing happens, I'm like, wait, what? Wait, what just happened? Just a couple weeks ago, we prayed over a man, Ben's dad actually, that came, and he said, you know, my shoulder's hurting, he couldn't move it, and we prayed for him, nothing happened. So Cody's like, well, let's pray again. So we prayed over him again, and then right after his move to tears, he could move his arm, he was completely healed right in front of us. We prayed over someone last week for they were having seizures, and then this week they've gone the longest that they've gone in the last 2 months without having seizures in their brain. You know, we've just seen over and over, we prayed over someone one time that dislocated their hip, came in hobbling, ran out doing cartwheels. I mean, it is amazing what God is doing. And so we're all learning and we're all experiencing this on a new level, that God is healing physically and miraculously.
Yeah. Which, and what's so amazing is that about that is that this physical healing has now become our normal. It's now normal to expect people to be physically healed in this church, which is crazy. I've never been able to say that, and I never thought I'd be able to say that, honestly. It's amazing the way that the Holy Spirit is moving in this congregation and in this place, that people are becoming healed. And so that is our spiritual normal now. And so what's amazing about that, but what's also a little dangerous, is that we could get used to that. And we could just say, and we could stay there and say, great, this is the way things are. This is as good as it's going to get. But we have to have an expectation about us for greater things to come. Amen? Right? Physical healing isn't the end.
Yeah.
Right? That was just often used in Scripture. When Jesus would heal someone, that was just used as a platform for so many other people to come to Jesus. It was just a story starter in so many different ways. And so if we look at the story of Village Church thus far, we've told our entire maybe first or two, second chapters right now, right? And so it'd be easy to put a bookmark in our story and close that and put it on a shelf and go, wow, isn't that awesome? That part of that story is so great. And we could dwell in this area for a long time and really enjoy it. But the thing is that there's more to come. We're only two chapters into this story. And we don't know how long it's going to be, right? Mm-hmm. But we know there's more. And so we have to have an expectation now. We have to be praying for even greater and greater and greater miracles and things to come than what we've seen thus far. Amen?
So we want to go in now to what are we expecting? What's next for our church? And I just want to tell you, as a pastor, it is incredibly terrifying to cast huge vision. Okay, but we're going to do it today because God has put a big vision on our hearts and he's put it in your hearts as well. And so we want to just stake today, you know, at our 2 year anniversary, that was the day that we collectively said, this is what God is going to do. He's told us he's going to do it. This is what he's going to do. And so I just want to stop for a second and just let you know, there is going to be a time in our lives where we look back and talk about, remember that time that small group of people gathered on that land, there was dirt and the kids were playing in the dirt and they were screaming and it was just wild. We had hot dogs. Like, that was the day that, that God used to propel us into the future. That's going to be a day where we laugh about that. We're like, remember that time we had lawn chairs and no shade, and it was, you know, we thought it'd be cold, but it wasn't, you know? So here's some things that God is doing and that we're expecting for the future. One is our building. Okay, we have a threefold vision for our building. And that is, first and foremost, we shared with you a community center, a place for our community to gather, okay, to come and, like Cody said, have birthday parties, maybe even just hang out, a place for a hub. You know, if you, we can have a extracurricular space to do, you know, workouts or whatever, just things that you would need to do inside. We want to have a community center. The second part of our vision is an apostolic training center. And what that means is we want to be a place. One thing that God told us in the very beginning was, not only are you going to be the reason that people move to Red Rock, you're going to be the reason that community thrives, but we are going to send, God is going to send people out of here to plant more churches. Okay, because we know that planting churches is the number one way in which God saves people, which God meets people. And so we want to see more and more churches planted. And so that means we got to train up leaders, right? We got to train up apostles to go and take territory for the kingdom. And so in our building, we want to have that training center where people come from all over the place to get training, to get poured into, to get practice in ministry, okay? So that's the second thing. The third thing is our church, okay? We want to meet there, right? I love that school. I do, but it's going to be really fun the day we get to walk in and just not set up, okay? So, yeah, woo! those are the threefold vision we have for our building.
Right. And so thus far, we've seen our church currently reaches 5% of our community population-wise, which is amazing, right? But we want to see in the next 2 years, we believe that we're going to see up to 10%. That 5% is going to move to 10% of our community reach. And so that's the next area that we want to see. But that it doesn't just stop with just people, right? There's so much that goes into that. And so we have a lot of vision for how we're going to reach more people, how we're going to get involved in this community more, how we're going to be able to meet people where they're at, right? Because we can't expect people to just walk through our doors. We have to go to them. We have to find them, and we have to say, hey, there's a story I want to tell you. Amen? Yep. If we're going to be storytellers, we got to find the people to tell those stories to. And if we're only reaching 5% of the community right now, then 95% of the people here need to hear that story. And so we have to commit, if we're going to see our 5% reach grow to 10% reach, that we're going to be storytellers, and we're going to move more people from lost to saved. Amen?
Which would be, I want you to know, that would be miraculous growth for a church. That would be a miracle that God would do. With that, if we're going to see that 10% happen, we believe we need to see 100 more salvations and baptisms in the next 2 years. Okay, that's 100 more people enter a relationship with Jesus. And so, you know, we call ourselves storytellers all the time, and it's become like a chant that we do on Sunday mornings. But now we're going to start to see us, each one of us, own that we are going to own our story with Jesus so that others can have a story with him, that we're not going to stand back or shy away from sharing the gospel, sharing this amazing Savior, this God that gives grace to our lives and salvation and can save us and bring victory and healing from addiction and physical ailments. He is the one that we need to take out into our neighborhoods, into the people that we know here. And so 100 salvations and baptisms in the next 2 years.
Absolutely. And so this next one is the scariest thing to me, honestly.
You ready?
The next one is, if we want to see a building happen, that's going to cost money. And honestly, like, if all of Red Rock came to our church, it would still be a huge challenge to raise the money that's going to be needed, right? And so we had this number in our head for a while of $2 million. It's going to maybe cost $2 million. And then we met with an architect, and he told us that, well, the parking lot's going to be about $2.25 million. So, like, we've been praying for the parking lot. And so that's terrifying at the first place. Like, what? $2.25 million for parking, right? And
just walk.
And so
just
walk to church. What we're going to be praying for in faith is a $5 million miracle. Now, whatever comes in, we're going to believe that that's exactly the amount that God wants to give us. And that's exactly the amount that it's going to cost for mm-hmm. us, right? We don't know where that money is going to come from, right? We know it's not all going to come from us because I'm not a millionaire, right? Anybody else a millionaire here? Nope.
If you are,
nope.
raise your Nobody? Hand. Come Nobody? Talk to us,
yeah.
please.
Yeah, right? So we know it's going to have to be a financial miracle. And we also are making the commitment that we're not going to go into debt for this because that's not what God wants for us. We're not going to incur a $5 million or a $2 million or a $1 million or any debt for this. And so we're not going to put a shovel in the ground until all the money is raised for this.
You with us there? You with us on that?
And so you know what? If that doesn't happen, then we're going to, that's okay, right? But we don't believe that we've come this far, that God's brought us through all these miracles just to stop now, right? There's more to come. And so we fully believe. God does it all the time. You hear stories all the time about how literally somebody just walks up to a pastor and says, hey, I wanted to talk to you. And then 5 minutes later, they're handing him a check for $10 million. It happens all the time in churches. So we're just believing the same thing can happen here, that a miracle is going to be required, but we know and we're going to be praying that it will mm-hmm. happen so that this community center, this apostolic center, and this church can be this center for this community for people to come to Jesus more and more and more.
Right. And then the next thing we have for the future is church plants, right? We want to see more churches planted. We have a long list of zip codes right around this area. We were flying in from Orlando over Tucson just 2 days ago. And I was just looking over Tucson and then I saw Red Rock, which was like crazy. It's like, what's that little, there it is. And then Picacho Peak and then even Phoenix, just flying in over all these cities and these communities. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit whispering, you're going to impact that. That's what I'm going to send out from 85145 out into all these communities. And so we believe that God is going to plant churches in a powerful way through us. It's amazing and it'll be miraculous. So right now we already have a team assembled to plant in Gladden Farms. Okay. They're meeting regularly. They're praying over that community. They need miracles still. God already did a miracle. There was a church selling all their equipment, and they said, you know, it's going to cost $20,000. And we said, we don't have $20,000 for that. And so we said, you know, we'll just offer them, you know, we'll give you $5,000. Okay, to buy all the equipment that it costs to do. And we just thought, they're not going to do that. That's 25% of the offer price. And then they came back and they said, you know what? Okay. Come on up, pick it up, you can have it. So God is already doing miracles, already confirming that that is what God wants. The principal at Gladden Farms Elementary on the regular is like, when are you going to put a church in my school? Okay, it's another public school principal that is inviting a church in to say, come and put a church in my school. And so that's happening. We're also just feeling a tug to begin praying over those other zip codes. And so here in the future, we're going to organize a prayer time to go up into Eloy and Arizona City and just pray and invite our motorcycle crew, right? Because they're like those spiritual warriors that come out and take territory for us for Jesus. And so we're going to go up, we're going to pray. We have vision for Dove Mountain. We have vision for all the outskirts of Phoenix, Santan Valley. And yesterday we were looking at Maricopa and just some other places. And so we know that God is going to move in a powerful way in the area of church planting.
Absolutely. And so we've cast this vision, right, of over the next 2 years, all these things we believe are going to come to fruition, because in the first 2 years, even more than that's honestly happened. More and greater things than we ever could have hoped or imagined have happened in these 2 years. And so we believe that that's going to be replicated in these next 2 years. But it's going to require some things of us. It's going to require some things of us, right? And so the first thing it's going to require is to multiply. Right? If we're calling ourselves storytellers, then we have to tell our story so that others can have their own story with Jesus. Amen? We have to commit to that. That's why in our tribe groups right now, we're going through those story groups so that we can at least own those stories. We can't have any excuses anymore. Right? The reality is we cannot have any excuses anymore. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about with the death of Billy Graham, right? Who's going to take his place? And I don't think it's going to be one person. It's going to take churches. It's going to take people. It's going to take the average Christian. And right now, we've shared this before, but I just read a statistic that said 95% of Christians have no intention of ever sharing their story with somebody else. No intention. And so we have to change that. We have to see that number grow in our church. If we're going to go move that 5% up to 10% and even beyond, we're going to have to be storytellers. Mm-hmm. And so we need a commitment from you, not just to us, but to the Holy Spirit, that you will share that story so that others can have their own story with him. Can I get an amen for that?
Awesome. You know, another one of our core values is generosity. And our tagline for that is leveraging our lives for Jesus. And so leveraging our time, leveraging our families, leveraging our blessings and our finances for Jesus. And so we believe that what's required of us to see that vision happen is that we have to put our feet to work in the area of generosity. Okay, it's going to require sacrifice on a level that maybe we haven't reached yet. And so we already know from conversations we're having with you guys that the Holy Spirit is pressing in on you to leverage more. All right. And so we just want to encourage you, let him do it. Because I know that God is a poor mathematician. Okay. He does not operate in the math that we do. Right. So we say, well, I only have, a fish and a couple pieces of bread. And he says, no problem. Let's feed 5,000. Okay, that is the kind of God that we serve. And so as we bring our pitiful, like, here, God, we're leveraging our lives and it's still nothing in comparison to what you want to do, he's going to multiply it out. All right, so we want to be generous.
Absolutely. Then the next thing that we have to do in this next season is up our service level, right? And so we're going to have just an example, right? We're going to be having an Easter egg drop coming up in March 31st, right? We're going to be dropping 7,000 yeah. Easter eggs, right, on the soccer field that's next to the school, right? And so we're gonna expect a lot, hundreds of people to come to this event, right? But here's the thing, we're not just dropping Easter eggs. We're gonna have a prayer booth there, and we're gonna give opportunity for people who've maybe never stepped foot in any sort of a church situation, not just to go pick up some colorful Easter eggs, but to have an opportunity to maybe meet Jesus there. Right. So we're going to have a prayer booth. We're going to have hopefully some of you will be there. We need that service. We need people to be there to help us usher those people in, make sure people have parking spaces, and be willing to pray for people and maybe even share your story with somebody there. And so it's going to take service-minded hearts in order to see this happen, see this vision come to fruition.
Another one of our core values is transparency. And so we believe that as God brings us into the future, we need to be more and more bold about who God has asked us to be. Right. We need to be authentic, obedient followers of Jesus for real. Not like, I still, sometimes, and then I pretend the other times, okay? He wants us to be transparent, authentic, bold, obedient lovers of Jesus so that we can multiply disciples that also are obedient and love Jesus as well. We have to be transparent.
Absolutely. And we also have to be unified, okay? The thing that Satan wants to do to make sure that this doesn't happen is stir up disunity and dissension amongst us, right? That looks like gossip. That looks like any false words, anything that's ugly, lies, anything. If you hear somebody talking bad about somebody else in this church, you stop that in its tracks and you remind them who we are and who we are meant to be. Right? We have to be unified in order to see any of this vision happen. And so for the sake of Jesus, right, for his name above anything else, we have to put on that face of unity that we support each other, that we love each other. Otherwise, who's going to want to join this? Right? If we're going to see growth from 5 to 10%, the only way that people are going to want to join that is if they see it's a safe place of people that love each other unconditionally, just like Jesus loves us.
Yeah. And last but not least, we're going to give God every ounce of glory along the way.
Amen.
Every ounce. We're not going to take any for ourselves. And, as people, we want to. Our natural bent is to get glory for ourselves. But we are going to give him. We're going to say, nope, we're going to turn it all back to him, right? He gets every ounce of glory for the fact that we're here today and what he's done the last 2 years. And he's going to get every ounce of glory for every miracle that's going to happen in our church life. And so we have some instructions for you. We're going to invite the worship team forward. We're going to just end our time together in worship. We know the kids are getting wild. That's fine. But we have some instructions for you. So we're going to sing Anything Can Happen. I love that song. Anything Can Happen. It's just basically a declaration like these are some huge things. I mean, millions of dollars we're talking about and talking about multiple church plants. And I mean, crazy exponential growth for a church to go from 5% of a community to 10%. I mean, these are huge things that God has put on our heart. So we're going to sing this song in faith. Anything can happen, Lord, because you're with us. You're here with us. And then we're going to go into the reprise of Do It Again, right? I see you move. You move the mountains, and I believe you're going to do it again. He has moved some mountains to get us here today. I hope you're swelled up with great gratitude right now, just thinking about the people that don't even know you, that will never meet you face to face, that have prayed for you, the churches that sent people here, the churches that have given financially, the developers that have heard a vision and caught it, have heard what God's doing and said, you know what, fine, no problem. We got to put you right in the middle of the community. You got to have exactly what God has asked you to do. So when we sing that, you know, you've moved some mountains, Lord, but we need you to do it again, right? We want to invite you. We know you have kids. We know it's kind of crazy. We want to invite you just to get up and even just do a short, you know, couple minute prayer walk over this area. Just as your families, you can pray together. You can pray out loud. You can pray quietly. It doesn't have to be super orderly. We just want to invite you, when we start singing that, do it again, that you would just walk and just start claiming territory in the name of Jesus. That you would just say, Lord, you've heard our cries. You've given us this vision. Would you provide? Would you give your leaders wisdom? Would you give us courage to share our stories? Would you bring up people to plant more churches? Would you maybe even move in my heart in a way that I would be 100% laid down my life for you? So when we start seeing that, we want to invite you. You could just get up and you can prayer walk this area, okay? So we're going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing Anything Can Happen Now. I'm going to read you some verses, some promises of Jesus. John 14:12, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Jesus says, you are going to do even greater things than I did. That's crazy. We're going to see that happen. Deuteronomy 10:21, he is the one you praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. Jeremiah 32:27, I am the Lord. Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Everyone say, is possible with God. Matthew 17:20, he replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you. Job 5:8-9. But if I were you, I would appeal to God. I would lay my cause before him. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. Mark 16:20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. We're going to see some signs accompanying the work of Jesus in our church. John 14:13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I will do whatever you ask in my name. You've heard these promises, church. Do you believe them? Do you believe them? Awesome.
Anything can happen. Anything can happen.